welcome back, and thanks for tuning in for Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV, where today we are back, amazingly, 1 week on after our last broadcast. That's quite scary, actually. Consistency is, it's not really our forte, so that's, I don't know, the plans are aligning in all the wrong ways. But yes, we're back, and we have more things to discuss, hopefully, in line with the same format idea that we had last time, so we'll do a brief little news intro thing. And then we'll just wing it from there. Yeah, it proved pretty successful last time, so we'll probably continue to do that. Anyway, I don't think Jimmy... I asked Jimmy to get a little news jingle prepared for us, but it doesn't seem to be amounting yet, so you'll just have to make do with nothing. News. Episode 3 of Going Down has just been released.
Ooh.
Awesome, yes. I'm not sure if anyone actually on the call knew that.
No, I did. I jumped through it, checked it out.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty nice. You got confused on map 30.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. That's what happens when you sort of
this time, you use several elevators, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
A nice little plot twist to the entire dynamic of elevator-themed.
Honestly, no, I actually am really disappointed in that, because I think the best possible execution of that WAD would have been the TARDIS elevator. Yeah, the first, like, six or so maps are just, like, the elevator normally going down, and then, like, then you go to, like, hell in episode 1.5, like, fuck that episode 3 shit, and then you just keep going down, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, it's, like, floor 23, Atlantis.
Mm,
just
good.
All convention out the window. Don't fucking go down to hell. Go down to, like, wherever
super
you
hell.
Feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the very least, I mean,
you go
the whole
back to
concept
of X on a level.
I don't. Well, that would be sort of resource heavy.
Yes.
New texture set for every level. Why not? Go for it. Go the distance.
Yes.
Don't
do
that. But no, look, I mean, the idea behind, the gimmick behind the map set, the project, does allow for some, well, gimmicks, I guess. I mean, every single floor you go to, especially in, like, the second and third episodes, Mold is willing to throw some new gameplay concept or idea at you.
So no, there were some new gameplays, and
yeah,
it played well, so that's what I'm asking for. I mean,
yeah.
The
so,
little cherry
I mean,
on top has been more thematic changes.
We pass the judgment. I mean, I haven't played it properly as well. I sort of just clicked around for a bit.
Yeah, no, I just kind of...
Oh, no. I'm just saying that, like, I appreciate that. Like, that's cool and all, and you can do it well. I'm just saying that I think that there was some missed potential there. Hmm. Like, regardless of how good the product actually is right now, I think that it'll always would have been better for me if it was... just, like,
we've
totally
got, it's young blood making it. There's always room for making a franchise out of this.
Yeah. Remakes. Remakes should be a thing. I don't know.
Going down to back to the elevator.
I guess remakes are a thing. That's sort of what...
So, who made the music for that?
Was it actually Moldy himself? No?
Wasn't yeah, it was Moldy.
I don't know, but somebody makes elevator music.
Oh. So there was a rumor going around that he was actually Cyrak. Sorry?
No, didn't he confirm that?
I don't know. I don't know where the information came from.
I thought it was confirmed that he's Cyrak.
We'll need to double check with that. Anyway, other news items. Lainos has also released a new one or two maps in it, I think. For those not in the know, he is the author of Object 34 Sonar, which some people like, ooh, some people dislike. Also, Doxula Mine, Overdose. And he's part of that Russian, I think it's a Russian clan called B0S, or BOSS, if your townsman insists on pronouncing the numbers like that. Zoc. is that okay?
Zoc made a good map.
It was okay, but that's, you know, the pronunciation. Yeah, so definitely check that out if you're a fan of those. Also, Sacrament, very hit and miss, I think. It's very much love or hated affair, but it's interesting regardless. And I think that's it news-wise. Oh, wait, no, I guess we didn't really point it out last week, and it probably is worth pointing out, since even though it wasn't within that week, you know, it's still pretty significant. The Beta 4 of Resurgence has come out, which is that mega one by Josh Esho. If you haven't looked at it by now, which, you know, why wouldn't you have, go check that out. Thanks.
Yay,
hooray. Now move on to our three different items for the day. Tarnsman, you're going to kick us off, I think, with something that I think you were involved in as well in that thread, weren't you?
What, the camping discussion?
Go for it, yeah.
Okay, so there's this discussion currently going on in the Doom thread. And it's more so than a discussion, but it's more like a prevalent play style that seems to, I'm going to call it plague Doom, in that a lot of players are really unwilling to engage in certain fights unless, like, the map forces them to do so. And I'm a big proponent of not forcing the player to do stuff, because it always feels just, like, shoehorned in and lazy to me. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of players who, like, if you give them a shotgun and put some revenants around them, and even though you clearly designed it, like, to not be fun to fight, so they leave and let those revenants stay alive and come back to them later because of the layout design, they're like, no, I'm not going to leave revenants behind because they're a dangerous monster, and fucking I'm just going to sit here and peddle them down with a single shotgun and then complain about not having the ordnance. Almost like, basically, if you give the player any weapon that isn't the pistol, they won't, like, ever run past stuff anymore.
What's the compatibility for the file in question? If you were to have higher tier monsters exist, say, a bunch of revenants in a room with a shotgun, unless you wanted them to be faced immediately, don't put them there, because apparently the objective is to have the skeletons there, and then you fight them later.
So you light them up.
You have to backtrack.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah, no, there's a car immediately behind the window, which is where I'm broadcasting from. Where was I? Oh, right. So
okay, so basically what you're saying is that don't have a threat exist until you're actually meant to fight it. Well, that's stupid, because then you're removing, like, a lot of ancillary gameplay from your map. Like, a lot of Doom's gameplay comes from, like, how you have to avoid monsters. And, like, having a lot of snipers that you can't immediately deal with, like, that's part of Doom. But, see, a lot of players, like, will refuse to not kill, like, they'll kill whatever's put in front of them until they run out of ammo, and they'll refuse to, like, approach it in any way that's not immediately attacking it.
This was a, this is a complaint that is not unique to the Max NX 2 thread, but it was also brought up in the first one. And I know, Tansman, you did something in response to this, which was to stroll through the entirety of Max NX Episode 1 in an attempt to show that the pressure wasn't significant enough that you were forced into a camping position, and you were always free to go out and stroll around in the actual heat of battle at a walking pace. And this, I think the complaint first sort of came about or reached its height on that 5, Total Exposure by Povera, which is one of the most open maps in the episode. So I'm wondering if it's partly to do with, you know, folks who prefer that sort of camping mentality, realizing how boring it's become when they're placed in a position where sniping is the only sort of thing they can do from that camping position. Because that's what I'm thinking, Total Exposure in that area where, you know, you've got the mancubine and the pillars and then the Ranatrons outside. And that's where most people sort of run out and run around in and combat everything in that way. But if you sit by the doorway and pop shot things from a distance of, like, presumably with free look, because otherwise how the hell would you be able to hit them? Like 10, 24 units plus away. That's kind of boring. But I don't know, isn't that what you did in response? You actually walked through the entirety of the episode?
Well, because here's the issue, is that, like, a lot of players want to be, like, trapped constantly at all times. Like Death Destiny
I don't think anyone wants to be, sort of, like, have the bars rise up behind them and then only lower when the whole encounter's finished. I don't think that's very popular.
I've done that.
No, but yeah, a lot of people want that, because if you give them the freedom to just not, they won't. Like,
no, I like that kind of encounter where you don't have the ammo for it, but I can see where people complain about it. But that's the thing about Doom maps. There's different kinds of encounters that you're supposed to face.
Right.
And if they become formulaic to an author, don't go around that author. Or I don't know.
Right, no. It's like I don't play Death Destiny maps because I find his one trap every 3 milliseconds boring as shit. I don't know. It all comes down to, like, whether or not you want the player to have free movement or if you want the player to have constrained movement. And I want the player always to have free movement because I don't like constrained movement. Like, you can make the game interesting by just playing aggressively. Like, there's no reason, in my opinion, to play Doom in a passive manner. Like, I hate the way John Sweetpea plays Doom for that exact reason, because Doom gives you the speed and the tools to play it in an aggressive manner, and it's honestly a lot easier, generally, if you play fast than if you play slow.
Right.
Well, John Sweepy, it heavily dislikes sort of Revenants and Mancubi and Archfuzz used in large numbers, and maybe that's, you know, largely in part because it sort of makes his... Is he the sort of camping type?
Yeah.
He is? He does that? Do those monsters make that sort of life difficult for him?
Not really. You can still camp all those monsters. Well, except for Archviles. You can't really camp Archviles, but that's not...
I mean, right positioned right, they might threaten you out of that, I don't know.
Yeah.
That mindset, I don't know. I don't really have a strong opinion on the matter because I haven't really had one
neither
of my maps criticized for having that problem, though I imagine that might be the case once I actually put a significant release out.
That's just my stance on it. I don't really feel... I feel it's just one of those things that, like, certain people in the Doom community prefer a certain thing. It's one of those things like slaughter maps. Like, there's an agree to disagree.
No, it's a type of a map.
Yeah.
Like, there's slaughter maps. There's pretty-looking maps. There's...
I don't really think pretty-looking maps is a...
Why
it's a subgenre.
Why back to Saturn X? Because I've heard a lot of people complain about...
But a Skeplin-style map is a type of map.
It's not really just back to Saturn X. It's just more so that...
Well, where else has the discussion sort of been brought up to that extent? Because I've heard a lot of people complain about the gameplay of back to Saturn X being sort of... All the combat is really incidental, and none of it's sort of highly focused on sort of fleshing out a specific lean of gameplay. And it seems to me like that would be the perfect sort of setup to cater to anyone's style of play. Most of the time, so I guess I'm a little just surprised, or should I be surprised? I don't know. There seems to be a lot of shit.
Well, it's more so that the Megawatt Club people complain about that in other map sets, but the people who make those map sets generally aren't there.
No.
And people like Salia and myself, when somebody says something like, "I did enjoy this because I purposely make the game less fun for myself," then I'm going to call them out on it, because it's not an intelligent way to play the game, in my opinion. So if, like, somebody's like, "Man, I really hate that Doom gives me a super shotgun," then just fucking don't use the super shotgun.
Well, I suppose that makes sense, actually. That so many playtesters and designers have invested years into this thing, I guess it would be the case with any project that when a sort of sweeping statement is made in one sort of neat little paragraph, it's very easy to sort of jump in and object. Anyway, it seems that Tartans is, like, the most highly opinionated on this particular subject, but what about this little other item that that Memphis actually suggested? It's crawled its way back to the second page of Watson Mods. I've had to go hunting for it. The tagging system idea, which I'm not familiar with Steam at all, since I actually don't play many video games.
Okay. Basically, what he's suggesting is, like, on Steam... There are some really stupid tags on Steam, but, like, say, okay, we just finished playing Tomb Raider 2013, and we enjoyed the game. And then it would be like, okay, here's a bunch of tags that range from everything like action-adventure to shit, like, female protagonist.
Ah.
You can click on any of these tags, and it'll bring you to all the other games that are tagged that same thing. Now, I generally don't like tags in the same way that, like, they're either too broad or... specific in a way that doesn't actually do any good. Like, it's like saying, "Pandora, play me rock music."
The question is, I guess,
more themes.
It's not even that. Like, because the issue is, like, you're never going to run into somebody who only wants to play tech bases. I mean, yeah, sure, they're
there. I've seen a few threads crop up that says, can you suggest to me more maps in the hell theme? What are some really good hell theme maps?
Anyone who gave BTSX episode 1 is one that likes to play tech bases.
No, I'm saying that, like, most people are going to be like, "Hey, can I play some good maps?" And not, "Hey, can I play, you know, generic theme A?"
Sure.
So you think it might be useful, but not to the extent that people think?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like Doom is too broad.
Is there any harm there in implementing it?
I don't really I'm just commenting that I think it's kind of useless. Because, like, if I say I want to play a tech-based map, that's a pretty fucking broad and worthless claim. Like, no tech-based map is going to play, well, I mean, yeah, if they're an E1 replacement, they're going to play the same, but, like...
I want to play StarTan 2 with wood ceiling map, please.
Yeah, like... Well, a lot of maps play completely different. Like, if I say Hell maps, I'm going to get fucking Deus Vault 2 and Peacorf maps. And those don't play
not the same.
Anything remotely similar to one another.
Right.
They don't even have, like...
So is there any further subjective framework? Because, I mean, I think...
Playstyle.
I think it's generally suggested that the only sort of tags you can put on here are about objective truths of the map, right? Like, no one's going to object to it being a Hell style or whatever.
Yeah.
So what further tags could you put on there to possibly even narrow it down further?
Then you have playstyle, and that
that's
will
subjective.
Make...
That's wandering into subjective area.
No,
unless,
like
unless it's decided out what everything means with the general tropes that exist with a style of play are.
Camping.
The only thing... by the community.
Tag. No, the only thing that you would have for playstyle would be shit like slaughter map or ammo deprivation, things that are objectively true to map.
It's something. It's a place to start.
Right, but no, but here's the biggest issue, is that, like, even once you have all that, fucking, say, who's the guy who will make posts like, Hell maps need to have the following traits, and, like, fucking, you can't have blue in a Hell map because whatever.
Yeah, I remember that. Don't remember who it was, but, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, that guy is still not gonna get what the fuck he wants, because, like, a Whispers of Satan Hell map and a Deus Vault 2 Hell map are nothing fucking alike.
It sounds like it's going to turn into the goddamn sort of metal music scene in which you can have tons of subs of traditional Hell maps.
Yep.
Sort of.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of like the problem. That's what I'm saying. It's either too generic, like tech-based, or it becomes too specific to actually help anybody.
Then it should just be kind of overarching broad terms, just use a bunch of them.
There's also
and then, like, if there's things you like and something shows up a lot on there, like, if there was this hypothetical database, then give it a try. Or do what we've been doing for the past 20 years and say, these are what I like, and then somebody will throw out the name of a WAD because there's tens of thousands in existence now.
The best thing you could do is come up with a system where people who like things can tag similar WADs, and then you can look at what the community has collectively tagged.
Sure.
Or, like, people who tagged that they liked Vanguard also tagged they liked Lunatic. Okay, because that's a lot more useful. I mean, Vanguard and Lunatic thematically are nothing alike, but chances are if you like Vanguard, you're going to like Lunatic and vice versa.
Exactly.
Okay.
I see that as a solution.
I guess if Tarnsman's sort of rightful insistency on the Doom community moving away from the trends of tech-based hell, all that like, in their megawatts, or in general, actually came to the fore, then you might actually be able to make better use of that sort of tagging system in which you'd be able to type in Brazil, and then you'd be able to get No End in Sight 2, or something like that.
Yeah, but what else would you get? That's what I'm saying, is like, that's where it becomes too specific. I type in Brazil, and what else do I get?
Well, nothing yet, but maybe it'll expand. Certainly not to the point where, you know, you have 10 billion different tech base sort of thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe Brazil's going to be the new thing, and everybody's going to want to make Brazilian maps.
Oh.
Too bunny. Wow.
That's going to be a poor joke there I was going to make, but I don't have to think.
Yeah, no, I was trying to do it, but my brain just told me to stop.
Yeah, no, mine too. Yeah, GMTA did.
Good.
Mm, very good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Learning. It's a curve.
But a point that Snake's race, I think, quite early on in that thread, was that it'd be very difficult to regulate anyway. People always wanting to sort of shift the tags around and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know how well it works on Steam. I know that some people get a little peeved off that some of their favorite games, whatever, are erroneously tagged or something like that. Zombie game being flagged as fucking Barbie Fest. I don't know. I haven't checked it out, so I'm not sure. But the general consensus, at least on this call, seems to be that there would be no harm in it, I guess, but it just would be largely a lot less useful. Certainly,
anything.
It's basically, Alfonso, what you're asking for is the same thing as, like, you know, when you watch a video on YouTube and it says, "Oh, you might want to also watch this."
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is that it just tells you the people that paid the most money to YouTube, and it shows you those.
Right, but that's basically what you're getting for Doom.
Well, I mean, the suggestion of people who watch this also like that, that's not the particularly. I think that's a good one.
No, that's good. But if it was done in the style of YouTube, even remotely. Because I don't see much of a resemblance in any of them. It just becomes people that did stuff a lot. Like, everything would wind up suggesting Alien Vendetta or something like that.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying, is that... That's the downside to it. It would end like the suggestion of, like, you like this, people who like this also liked Y. That would also happen. Because
Y is Alien Vendetta.
Everybody would tag shit like Alien Vendetta or Hell Revealed or whatever. Like, so it would be kind of, like, useless in that regards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it would be kind of easy to get from a more obscure one to a more popular one, but not the other way around. People who like Alien Vendetta also like
everything.
Yeah, here's everything.
Except not all at the same time.
Just have Doom. Own it game.
Everyone who's liked Alien Vendetta collectively got like 3 different wads out of the 10,000, so we have 30,000 different wads, each with one vote. Yeah. Here, look at all of them.
Mm. Food for thought there, though. Interesting discussion. I might make the relevant replies on the thread and redirect them to the Doom Radio. More publicity. Good. By the way, you know, our dude's probably going to go get Johnson, actually, to do an interview with us. That'd be neat.
He's back around.
We have Mechadon and fucking all these other people lined up.
That many. I think we've done one in 9 months. You know, this is called Program B for a reason. But it's sort of masquerading as A at the moment. Anyway, a little sooner than anticipated, we have arrived at possibly TMD's point. Point of discussion for today. If he has one. Otherwise, we're going to have to
wait
for
the territory.
He does.
Talk about, like, leagues and stuff, but I kind of talked about that last week.
You kind of did.
Yeah, I got in contact with, like, Ralphus and Nubhead, who are the people in charge of the dual league that's going on. And they want to make it more of a international affair.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I realized they moved away from the RDL and set up their own Doom League.
Yeah, they set up
that
their
expressed
own
intention.
Doom League.
It's too comfortable.
Well, that's a Capture the Flag League, and I'm not trying to get audiences into the nuances of Capture the Flag.
No,
I'm
but
just
it's the same
to,
mentality, I imagine. I mean, they're just...
It is the same mentality. It's the same people. It's the same port.
Trying to tap into that huge
I don't wanna,
of the player base that doesn't do multiplayer.
Well, you've got to get your feet wet, and that's kind of what the point of the NADA.
Right,
Atlantic, now including Australia Doom Association.
Basically,
but,
like I was telling Alfonso, the issue with like getting your feet wet is that there is a lot of people in the Doom community.
Reciprocity to it.
Who just don't want to play deathmatch. Like, they're just not people for competitive multiplayer, and they never will be.
I'm not sure that's explicitly been decided yet. I mean, you have to at least try.
So that's what I want to do the next part. They're trying to do, like, a Megawad club for duelers. It's not competitive. It's, hey, we're featuring this set of deathmatch maps this month. Come play it. By the way, at the end of the month, we may have a little tournament on there, and... Everyone is welcome to join.
Okay, but see, it is competitive because somebody wins or loses at the end of every match. There's no matter what I do, I will get through this level. And there's a lot of people who just don't like playing multiplayer.
Yeah, but I think what Donut's trying to say, and what I would certainly argue, is that we haven't really... that hasn't conclusively been decided
because
we haven't been pressed enough. To try.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to press
people
more on that.
There could be a lot of folks
that
say they don't, but who actually might.
No, my response to that is there are people that we're never going to win over, and we understand that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people in that media, in that moderate ground, that don't know about the leagues or kind of frightened of competitive play because there's people that have been playing Doom competitively for 8 years plus in the same leagues. And that would scare them off. So we're trying to set up something where those veteran players, call them what you will, are not in the picture. And so you can play, while it is still competitive, and I get that there are people that the very notion of competition will shy them away, and to that we say we can't win everybody, but you can still come by if you want and not play in the tournament at the end of the month. But there is the possibility of playing with new people or inexperienced people and still having a good time, and then you realize you're good, and then you go into the actual league, and then we get new blood. So it's a place to start.
Right, and I'm saying that that's cool and all, but, like, it's not something that's going to magically bridge the gap, because we already have stuff like Friday Night Frags and Thursday Night Survival and all this other stuff that's constantly put up and promoted on Doomworld.
It's not a direct approach. I mean, I look at the Friday night, all that sort of day thing.
Yeah, there's some...
as just, oh, that exists, so that's still here, you know, I just expect that to come out every week and then I glaze over it.
It's a weekly blurb. It shows up on the news and not everyone reads the news.
You need to directly try to contact the... That's why I think the whole Megawatt Club sort of parallel is a good idea, because it's going to be top of the page constantly just trying to nag you for attention and directly try to...
In somewhere that isn't just like a quarantine for news briefs. Mm-hmm. Like, get it in WADs and MODs as an actual threat.
It's very easy to get comfortable with the idea of sort of Friday Night Fragfest just being there, and then you can ignore it. If something's constantly tapping you on the shoulder, then some people are bound to get interested.
Yeah, and that's great and all, but much like the Megawad Club hasn't really, like, worked very well at... Like, the Megawad Club... Saleh is like the only new member of the Megawad Club since it started. Like, very rare. It's always been the core group of people and the Megawad Club, and that's what I'm saying is...
But all the same, you know, at least it's something. I mean, there's a lot of...
Right, no, I'm just saying don't put some expectation, like, suddenly this is the right way
to increase
Doom's popularity in multiplayer.
I'm just sort of appreciating the attempt, really, and presumably the continued attempt if it fails. But, I mean, could you possibly envision of another way to sort of bridge that gap?
That's the thing that I'm saying, is that we need to stop directly focusing on bridging that gap, like I told Ralphus.
And do what instead?
Well, no, the problem is that the people who make maps for multiplayer generally don't play the maps for multiplayer. And the people who play the maps for multiplayer don't make the maps for multiplayer. And a lot of multiplayer players won't... Well, it is a problem because everybody always plays the same old shit, even though it's not good. And, like, old maps that people don't really like, but it's what everybody plays, so that's what everybody's playing. And since mappers aren't there to promote their maps... no new content's really getting, like, feedback.
Right, yeah, but again, this is just identifying the problem and not really sort of proposing a solution to it.
And the solution is for those two groups to work together, and instead of the multiplayer people saying, well, you guys should just play multiplayer, like, the multiplayer community needs to accept that a large chunk of their mappers aren't going to play multiplayer.
Well, where would that... discussion.
Okay,
place.
So
like, where would these probably meet?
Like, change anything outside of just acknowledging that something's a problem?
No, what you need to do is your whole idea, except instead of focusing purely on trying to get more people in, have your, like, Megawad Club actually function like a Megawad Club, where, like, it's a dedicated feedback loop for the mappers of those projects, while, you know, you still have all the people who play those maps. Like, that's still only people who are participating in the deathmatch, but now all their feedback on the map is there in the thread, and they're being forced to play new content.
So what, did the Doomworld Megawad Club doesn't kick off until all of those involved in the creation of the map are ready and present to be able to engage in conversation with those who are playing it?
No, so I'm saying that...
Doomworld Megawad Club.
Yeah, no,
sort
I'm
of,
saying...
By getting... Oh, yeah, go on.
That you have your sign-up thread and all that, and you promote this new dual content. That's cool and all, but also there should be, like, required feedback and a required amount of just, like, new mapper content.
Hmm.
Okay.
Although, have you made that a requirement?
So, kind of like, the ticket for admission is, light bulb.
Oh, go on.
We can have the dual club, and there's a tournament, but the price of admission for the tournament is you have to submit a map. And then the league exists. No, this is just something I'm spitballing right now for something.
Where you have to submit a map, or you're
you
saying like
a
you
map,
have to pick
then,
a map, or you have to make a map.
No, you submit a map, and
so
then
the
and once we've had... Okay, there's 16 people that enter for a tournament.
Right.
Each person has to make a map for the tournament, and each person's map will get played over the course of the league.
Mm.
And so a social activity. You map, you play, there's a feedback loop on there.
But see, again, a lot of the people who play don't like to make maps. Like, you're basically saying, like, Dew can't participate unless Dew makes a map.
For the sake of this league?
This is just attempting to tackle that problem by...
It's something.
The problem is you have your thread, and you give feedback in the thread, and you make sure the club plays new releases. That way, the people who made those maps, if they want to, because you're not going to force somebody to listen to feedback, there actually is a place where they're getting feedback on their map sets, and they're not making...
How is this different than Megawide Club?
That's what I'm saying! Make it the Megawide Club, but for Deathmatch!
So under my Ionic Donuts proposition, what you think would happen is that people would make the maps for it, but then they would piss off elsewhere, and then just to leave the people who play the tournament to give no proper
feedback. Yeah, pretty
much. Mm. I don't know. I think it's a pretty neat suggestion, if for no other reason than it's an interesting setup and worth experimenting with.
I think any multiplayer tournament where you actually have to make the maps to play in it is not going to work, because you have a lot of multiplayer.
Has it been attempted, though?
No, but you have a lot of multiplayer players who aren't...
It sort of isn't CGI, sort of.
But even then,
we
that
don't
suffers
talk about
from
CGI.
The fact that suffers from the fact that, like, the top tier multiplayer people aren't making the maps for it.
Well,
like, how do we get the feedback? How do we get the feedback on CGI? We have to invite Rock King. Well, Rock King actually didn't have making
Rock King.
We have to invite Rock King and Ralphus and Dew and them to play and ask them, hey, what's your feedback on this? Okay, well, a lot of people who want to make multiplayer maps don't have that opportunity. And as a result, like, there's no place for them to get that feedback. Whereas if you had your dual club and the dual club gave feedback on maps, at least there's something for the mapper to look at and be like, oh, well, they didn't fucking like that. I can, like, work on that or just fucking
ignore.
Okay,
well, in this case, I would take TMD setup. But the people that I would specifically...
That was a spitball, by the way. So, like, there's
room
for...
No, of course. No, I actually like the idea. I think there's a bit of potential to work with it. What I think could possibly is, I think just making that thread prominent and keeping it up is going to nab the attention of some people who might not otherwise notice. And then if you continue to make that a thing, if you make it a monthly thing or whatever, or a bi-monthly thing or something, does that mean two every month or every 2 months? Probably the first one.
Bi-monthly?
Yeah, probably means 2 months. No, every 2 months. If you keep it prominent, then I think you'll be able to snowball some popularity like that. But you start off by selecting those people who you know not only will be making maps, or won't be pissing off otherwise, and will engage themselves in the feedback process. And we know that those people exist, but there aren't many of them. But we can start with them.
Right, and that's why it should be a thread, and there should be, like, an encouraging new people to join, but the thread should also cater to those who are never going to play Deathmatch and who aren't making the content they could be making for Deathmatch because they don't have anybody to give them feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, food for thoughts there. And
it is food for thought, so.
So much food. It's a veritable feast of thinking. Anyway, 40 minutes in, so potentially 20 minutes left, and we've exhausted all of our 3 points. So
I never got to my point.
Oh, didn't we? Oh, no, I put one in your brain. That's right.
I put one in his mouth.
That doesn't really count. So,
okay. So
here we go.
I'm playing this thing. It's called Bad Blood, I think.
Oh, right, yeah.
And every map so far has been a remake of something. I use the word remake as lightly as possible, of, like, E1M1 or E1M2 or a Chex Quest map or Quake E1M1. Yeah, there's a Chex Quest map. Anyways, and...
How did you even identify that? I didn't know you played Chex Quest.
Jimmy identified it. But, anyways, my point is fucking knock it off.
Oh, the whole remake stuff?
Yeah, I mean, and I say this as a guy whose first release was a bunch
of
shit.
Well, I know you really, really, really despise the remakes of Map 7 and Map 30. Obligation, yeah. Every single, yeah.
Well, that's not a remake, that's just taking the gimmick from it and using it all over again.
No,
it is actually
No, they actually
hijack the layer rather than the concept, which is what makes it a remake rather than just taking the idea.
A lot of them are pretty much just dead simple with a little bit of added on, which is what pretty much every remake level is. Now, granted, a lot of times you can't, like, I don't want to say it's a totally worthless idea, because you have stuff like The Dying End, but yeah. Even still...
That was Lutz's, wasn't it?
And was, yeah, Christopher Lutz. Lutz, yeah. But for the most part, a lot of people aren't adding interesting concepts to it, to where...
It's the same thing.
Yeah, I'd say the only, like, merit to a remake concept is to fucking basically make it so that you're actually creating, like, a test, basically, for your, like, mapping abilities where you're fucking around seeing, like, okay, I'm going to take this map and see if I can tweak it. But I'm not actually, like, doing it as a serious release. I'm doing it as, like, a growth as a mapper type thing where I'm just, like, learning, oh, why did this work? And when I remake it, like, basically, because, you know, some people only learn that way. They learn by, like, looking at something and then taking it apart and then, like, applying it in reverse, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that there is merit to that, but too many releases are basically like, oh, hey, I just remade Doom 2 or whatever, and...
Good God, I don't think there are any of those. Oh, wait, no, there are, because there are tons.
Are there?
Yeah. Tons!
No, there are tons. They just tend not to go beyond, I don't know, like the first episode or the second.
1730?
Yes. No, I don't know. I mean, I think he means literally, like, the remake of Entryway Under Hall's Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Right up until, you know, typically not until the end of the game, but... Yeah,
I've never seen many do all that. They just do, like, episode one.
Yeah, that's right.
At best.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think anything of value would be lost if we knocked off the knee-deep in the dead?
Absolutely not. No.
Nothing? Because we'd like to praise Romero's design, except I don't think it's the actual design elements that are copied. It's just specific sort of segments.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But here's the thing, is we've already reached, like, the peak of that with Doom the way it did. So now we're at the point where, like, there is no other...
We're the chief defenders.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that we've already reached, like,
you are the demons.
Remake. Like, but when the shot-for-shot remake is made, that's when, like a fucking...
The project function.
Kind of media. Stuff. I don't want to call it, like, a franchise, because it's not a franchise. But, like, that's when it's finally reached, like, the point where it no longer has a reason to exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a bit of a futile discussion, though.
People are going to do it.
More specifically, new mappers are going to do it. You know?
It's a first step.
Yeah. No, it's... And frankly, if there's any sort of source material that I would want new mappers to tap into when they make it, it would be knee-deep in the dead.
Oh, no, no. I'm mainly referring to people who have, like, established maps. Like, frickin', what's-his-face, Evil Tech guy. Yes. Nicholas Monty had an entire Megawad release before he decided to remake Doom 1.
Yeah. Oh, really? I thought that was his first.
Evil Tech came out in 2012.
Yeah. Oh, that was... No, who was Nicholas... no, I know Nicholas Monty.
Yeah, what's
was.
The Nicholas Monty
What was Evil Tech? Who made that?
Evil Tech was Nicholas Monty.
That was Nicholas Monty? Oh, shit, man.
Yes.
Okay. Jeez, can I head off back?
Had that wonderful track?
Yeah, oh, God. Well, that was Fabulesco. He won in 5.
Yeah, and that track is also an Evil Tech.
That's newsworthy. I should put that on the reel. Mm.
Anyways, so that's what I'm talking. I'm talking about, like, established mappers. Yeah, obviously new mappers are. That's what I'm saying. If you're doing it as, like, a learning to map exercise, then it's fine because that's what new mappers do. But right. In terms of actually,
so you're targeting the people who are already familiar with mapping, and. Yeah. And
then they suddenly decide 5 years after showing up that they want to remake stuff.
And that is the point. I mean, that's
a good point. Like,
maps.
If you already got an established set of stuff,
right? And that falls into the same standards as fucking the fact that every goddamn Megawad has Dead Simple and the Icon of Sin in it. When fucking there are people who have been mapping for, you know, years now, and they're still putting that shit in their maps.
Mm.
There's so many equivalents on there.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm trying to think of, like, some parallel to put that on there, but I feel like the point's been well made.
But at the same time, those special level-specific...
Stuff
is still there. Can you think of any examples of maps that really use those tags effectively without being... I'm sure there are tons.
No.
Day's Fault 2.
Not really. I guess Day's Fault 2.
You don't think there's any obligation to even use those. You should just ignore them.
No, because what are you going to do? Like, under what circumstances, besides it being map 7, would all the Mancubi being dead, resorts to a floor lowering, actually be like something you'd integrate into your map? Because it's not all the Mancubi.
I'm doing something with that.
It's not all the Mancubi.
I think you could possibly work that time. I mean,
if no, I've got a plan for a using the Dead Simple gimmick.
In a way that
it's not being a Dead Simple map. I'm kind of
using the dead Mancubi, dead around.
The closest I've ever seen to it being, like actually interesting is Vader's closet Mancubus.
I thought you were going to mention that.
Yeah. No, because see, here's the same problem is like, I forget the guy's name now. Zodiac. Zodiac made a Map 7 attempt for Doom 2 the way it did, and the problem is that he used those specials, but it felt extremely arbitrary because unless you resort to the Dead Simple arena where you have all the monsters in one place, or you just resort it to like some secret, in which case that's not what I'm talking about because you're not remaking Dead Simple at that point. But unless you have them all in like one area or the map is inherently exclusively about them, then it's going to feel like arbitrary. You're like, oh, you happen to miss one Mancubus that you didn't kill.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Too bad. Now you can't complete the level.
I don't think that's a very fair example because of the context of Doom to the way that we were trying.
I'm talking about in the context of it just being a map 7. Like as a map 7,
okay.
If that right. wasn't trying to be a Romero, I guess it was a Romero map. I don't know what the fuck it was supposed to be. If that wasn't trying to be a map 7 for Doom 2, it still would have failed as a map 7 for an independent project.
No, look, I think because 99% of the projects that come out these days. Are targeted at people who are already familiar with Doom, and not someone outside the community. Everyone's going to know about what Map 7 means, right? And I don't mean Dead Simple, I mean they're going to be familiar with the actual tag effects there. And that's why I think you could get inventive with it without it necessarily resorting to Dead Simple. It's like, what happens if I kill all the Mancubus in this level? Will be the question they go in if they notice that there's no Dead Simple clone there. And then
right.
you can do something interesting with that.
Except, here's the issue, is that you're already telegraphing what happens. They know if all the Mancubi die, something happens. If all the Arachnotron die, something happens.
That's good.
There's
what if
no
it happened
surprise, there's
and
no,
nothing happens?
Of course there can still be surprise. I mean, there are ways you can use a lowering floor in order to do a different function every time. That could entail teleporting monsters, for example. It could just be a monster closet outside the map. It could be an actual physical location.
But then it's super arbitrary. Why did that happen when all the Mancubi died?
I don't think it matters at this point, because we've played Doom long enough.
No, but see, that's what makes it even less interesting. That instead of, like, being like, oh, this cool map transformation happened, oh, I'm playing map 7 and they needed to figure a way to shoehorn in the tag. It just feels lazy. Just completely throw those out. Never use them unless you're jokingly using them.
Okay, well, no, I still don't think you give it enough credit. Consider this. Put Mancubi
it's a different type of map that you can only use once, so use it.
But we've already used it one time.
Put Mancubi outside of the map so you're not even aware of their existence. And then have a Crusher, for example, that kills them at a simple walkover point that you can't identify. So,
well, why isn't that walkover point just lower the wall?
I just thought of that, so ignore that.
Okay, here's what you can do. But then at this point you're not remaking Dead Simple. This is the big point. Is, like, say, Ralphus and Rock King made Map 8 of Double Impact, there's a bunch of barons that get crushed as you hit switches outside the map. They're not remaking E1M8, they're just using something that's hard-coded in a Vanilla Doom to add scripting to Vanilla Doom. It's no different than conveyor belts outside the map for Boom scripting. So that's totally irrelevant to the discussion, because that's not what the discussion about. The discussion is, you have a Map 7 slot, and instead of just doing that, using the Mancubi and Arachnotrons for scripting, which then limits your map, actually, because then you can't place Mancubi in the map,
right?
Because then you have to kill all of them. You are going to not remake Dead Simple. Basically, that's the point, is that people, instead of trying to come up with something for Map 7, just say, okay, here's a map, and the map progression will be you have to kill all the Mancubi. Which was akin to saying all map ones must have a red key that leads to the exit. That'd get fucking old
keys
really fast.
On map one?
Do you see what I'm saying?
Jimmy,
yeah.
Amtrop would do it.
There could be a key on map one. Yeah, no problem. But if every single map one had a red key, and that red key led to the exit every single time, that would be the equivalent of what Dead Simple and the Icon of Sin have become.
So, that's like... I mean, this is a thing in video games, that where there's always something in an iteration of the game. It's just Doom has so many different iterations because of its compatibility. Like, every Legend of Zelda game always has a water temple. Map 7 is the water temple.
Except, is the water temple always at a fixed point in the game? Like, is it always the third temple you visit? No. Because that would get fucking old.
I think the lean of discussion...
I really wish there was a way to, like, change around the gimmick and the code to put it at some different map point in the game, but that's just part of the code.
Fucking Zazer did an arena map in map 16 of Back to Saturn X, and it's basically dead simple. It's basically dead simple. But it's not fucking annoying because it's in map 16. It feels like there's a reason for it to be there. It's a break map. It's its own thing. It doesn't feel like, oh, we ran into map 7. Good thing we don't have to fucking think about what we're doing for this map because it's just going to be dead simple. Same thing with map 30. Instead of fucking coming up with a map 30, it's like, oh, well, fucking it's map 30.
Absolutely no one's arguing here, Tonsman, that, you know... Map 7 shouldn't be tied, shouldn't be used every single goddamn megawatt, okay? I think just what I'm trying to think of is a possible idea that you could get out of it, you know, that you're not obliged to do every single time you do a megawatt, that could give the tag some merit still. And I know you think there's not, but I'm still thinking of new ways in which it could.
If you're not going to place either Arachnotrons or Mancubi in the map, and your map is a vanilla-compatible map, then you can fuck around with it and use them as outside-the-map scripting. But that's the same as...
Don't think that's the case. I mean, perhaps an infighting scenario in which you see this Mancubi and you see there's a Cyber Demon, for example, and then you have to accomplish a certain task before the Mancubi get killed.
F7.
Without your input. Like, you don't actually kill them, okay. You know the Mancubi are there, you have to do something.
So there's a thing that if you use the code, it would make the map unwinnable. So you need to protect the fat dude thing, or the spiders.
That's actually in Cyber Dreams Map 7, yeah, that's a pretty neat one. But I mean, we're talking about just traditional map design here, in which you could get away with something. I mean, do you think that idea has any lean, has any credit?
That's using the tags as a script. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're not making dead simple at that point.
Good. Yes. That's,
good.
That's not the discussion. The discussion is... Not that you can't use tag 667 or tag 666, is that you can't have them arbitrarily used. Like, if that's you were going to do...
What happens if you do? Is it upset people?
No, it's just fucking about it? Lazy.
Well, is there anything arbitrary about the suggestion that I just made?
That's not what I'm talking about, Alfonso. I'm talking
is there
about...
anything arbitrary about this entire line of argument?
Yes, everything.
Okay.
That's not what I'm talking about, Alfonso. I'm talking about your earlier suggestion, like, oh, well, the map transforms when you kill all the Mancubi, but it's not dead simple. Yeah, but it still fucking is dead simple. Like, you're telegraphing the progression.
Okay, I'll concede that. No, yeah, I was saying then that, you know, it's because we're making it for the community and everyone's already familiar with the tags and you could do it and everyone can sort of look at it as not being dead simple. But you're right, that is kind of arbitrary still. But I think the infighting example that I just came up
with... No, that's fine, because you're not telegraphing what the player's supposed to do, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's the entire discussion, is like if the water temple was always the third temple, and every water temple had a brick-pushing segment that's always solved by pushing the brick.
Yeah.
Spaces down, and you're telling the player essentially,
No, Pokemon does that.
You win, okay?
You always have to fight the evil team after the seventh gym, and there's always something with teleports.
And that's stupid.
Okay.
Well, it actually would be even more stupid if there were 400 different billion versions of Pokemon, and it was the same in 90% of those.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's just the fact that it's oversaturation of the formula. Yeah,
yes.
It's your problem. Okay.
We have reached the point where, okay, stop doing that.
It's the curse of having a highly moddable game.
Right. Well, now you need to stop fucking making dead simple.
We have about 5 minutes left here, folks. A little over that. So I'll just try to keep it within that time frame. But staying in the same line of discussion, but just changing tack a little bit. And talking about Plutonia, and something I noticed when we were playing, I was watching Talisman play at Plutonia, Titania, 1024. And we've had a few Plutonia remakes. And one thing that I noticed is that when folks are remaking Plutonia, it's almost like what I was talking about with Knee-Deep in the Dead, you know, that they remake certain areas, but they don't sort of take on Romero's style, which is understandable, you know, that's just what happens. But in the case of Plutonia, Plutonia, of course, is basically constructed almost entirely of remakes of areas from... Yes, Rick's... remakes of areas from Doom and Doom 2, basically. But when people remake... or inherit from Plutonia's style, they copy areas from Plutonia specifically, rather than doing what Plutonia does and copying from other maps. So that's sort of something that I would like to see folks do more, honestly, when they're invoking the Plutonia
Plutonify
style.
Other actually,
correct. Yes. Don't call back to the Plutonia I Ward. Just take other maps that the community's made, and then sort of do...
Well, there's things that say... don't edit this WAD or as a base.
Oh.
What Plutonia did is they had permission and blessing and a big old paycheck from ID saying, hey, do this.
Hmm. Actually, what I'm interested to know at this point is how many folks are actually aware of that Plutonia does this? Because I know Tarzan was like, how could you possibly not notice that X...
I noticed it in a few more of the blatant maps when I played Plutonia.
That's
first,
right. No, but otherwise...
Every time I play through it, like, I play through Plutonia maybe once a year or so, and I see a few new things each time.
That's right. But I wonder how many other...
But I wouldn't say it's all based
off
of that.
It's pretty fucking close.
It is, yeah.
It makes it its own thing, like...
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Like, that's why I don't really agree with Alfonso about the whole,
And so how is this different from...
No, it's not an issue, Tom.
Remaking, which I'm going back to the beginning of this entire... Like, I believe the first point that was made in this conversation. Oh, shit. The train just left through the station. Okay.
I don't know. The same reason why I don't mind Cotyard, because Plutonia does its own thing with it, and it doesn't always, like, follow, like Slayer,
okay,
for example.
That was 1996. I don't care about...
Slayer, for example, is fucking blatantly Circle of Death, but it's still a lot different than Circle of Death.
Yeah, but it is its own thing. That's right. And again, 1996 and all. But no, that's the question I want to put to those who are actually listening to this, and they can answer it next time. I can just get the responses and read it out then. Is that how many of you are actually aware of just how egregious Plutonia was in doing this? Like, how much... Because everyone points out the obvious. Everyone's going to know, map 32, map 21, is that Neurosphere is the most dense. But were you like me in that... You know, you weren't aware that it was actually like 80-90% of the entire thing that was just everything. NME, slot of NME is E2M1, for example.
There's a lot of E2M1 in NME, not just the server.
That seems right, but that's just the first thing that came to mind. And of course, the first map is E2M2. You know, the dedicated cred area, you've got those, I can't remember which direction it's in, but you've got, you know, in E2M2, you have the switch that lowers the sort of three pillars that has items on it. I think it's a backpack. Kind of
Yeah, that's the rocket launcher room.
Yeah, the rocket launcher area. It's this sort of stuff. I never pointed at it. Tarnsman notices all this stuff, and I didn't for the best part of 10 years. And I think that might have just been because I was a kid, and I sort of got used to everything, and then I didn't bother looking for new stuff when I played it again. I was just, everything sort of sat in my mind perfectly. Tell me what your opinion is on that. Or what your experience was. That'd be kind of interesting. Other than that, anything else to add, folks? Because we've reached the end of our tether. That's a no. That's a nothing.
I don't think so. We talked about what we need to talk about, but...
I think our job is done here. That's correct.
Good job.
Doom Radio, compliance and Elfin. Thanks very much for tuning in, folks, and we'll be back next week, hopefully. That's right. I mean, I'll certainly be here. And Tom might be, I don't know, we'll have to wing it, which is like, it's almost the motto of the show now.
enjoyed it.
Thanks very much for tuning in. See you next week. Bye for now.